You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Oh, no, that's why. I pressed the mute button. Anyway, yeah, this is Connecting Consciousness, and I've been speaking for the last 30 seconds. So, anyway, Connecting Consciousness with Simon Parks. My name is JP, and it is the 18th of February, 2018. So, 18-2-18-2. Another one of these recurring numbers. Simon, good evening. How are you?
Hello, JP. Hello, audience. I'm fine. I think we're all sort of reeling from the actions that have occurred over the last few days. And we were talking, JP, about the eclipses and the way the energy is. And I know lots and lots of listeners are all going to be saying how, you know, we're used to being hit with energies and a bit this way and that way. But at the moment, it's quite marked what's happening on the planet generally. So I think it's a bit of a trying time for everyone at the moment.
It certainly is. So, do you have your first wave of announcements?
Yes, very energy. Well, okay. we've had, I suppose, since January, in some ways we've had it easy in terms of what we've been dealing with. So I want to go back to the Russian air loss, and I was told that within 15 minutes of it occurring, and got it onto my website. Of course, I'm very reliant on Andy, who is brilliant, and he gets it on when he can. But what I'd said on the first post regarding that was, what's key here is the passenger list. Because the information that I got within 15 minutes of it was that it was a bomb. So the person who was telling me actually specified that it was a bomb. So I was in no doubt that this loss of this aircraft was not through natural causes or mechanical failure. This was a deliberate attempt. And then a few days later, of course, we got the passenger list, and then we realized that when the guy Ivanov, one of the senior executives from the Uranium One deal, was on that airplane, then my post about we need to know who's on the passenger list suddenly made sense. This guy had agreed to testify against the Clintons. So he'd actually said that he was prepared to go to court and testify against them. And as a result of that, he was removed. And people have quite legitimately asked me, well, you know what, they could have caused a car crash, they could have shot him, they could have made it look like suicide. Why did they kill all those innocent people who had nothing to do with it and just, unfortunately for them, happened to be on the same flight that he was on? And the answer here is that Russia, and particularly the secret service, the FSB, and a lot of the old secret intelligence services that used to be under the KGB's banner, have been cooperating with the CIA and the NSA. They have been passing information about the Clintons and other people to Trump, and Trump's been, you know, using that with his own team. So the reason that the Russian aircraft was chosen was simply to pay back Russia for passing information to Trump. Isn't this interesting? You go back sort of 20 years, 30 years to the Cold War, and, you know, Russia was supposed to be the enemy of America. Now here we have one element in America attacking Russia for supporting America. That's how out on a limb these bad people are. Now, another couple of people have asked me, was it the CIA that did this? And what I wanted to make clear was, no, it's not. There's no intelligence agency in the United States that had a hand in this. What I mean by that is, when a director sits around the table and says to his or her operatives or field guys, I want you to do this, well, that means that the CIA is involved. But when a sub person or an individual who is employed by the CIA goes and does something with another group, it's not the CIA underdoing that. It's much more like a mafia hit, and that's what we saw here. I can't even say that was Mossad involved. I can say that Zionists were involved, or some Zionists were involved in this bomb attack, but it was much more of a mafia type hit to prevent Ivanov testifying against the Clintons. And what's really sick about all this is that the official line is possibly pilot error. Now, those pilots would have family and friends. How awful to let those family and friends think that their loved one caused the death of all the passengers in their aeroplane, when the information I'm getting is that it was a bomb. And the early reports that I got said that the aircraft disappeared from radar in the air. Now, civilian radars are not military radars. When an aircraft explodes, only a military radar will detect sizable pieces of wreckage. They will come back and they will return. On a civilian radar, the frequency is such that if an aeroplane is blown up into enough pieces, the smaller pieces do not reflect back enough. So civil aviation lost radar connection with this while it was still in the air, and that means it was a bomb. So I wanted to get that one sorted. Then we had the shooting in the school. Now, within minutes of that, I posted on the website that I got a look at this. I said that mind control issues, as well as a mental health issues, were in play with this guy, and also it appears to me he had a demonic possession. And anyone who's subsequently seen photographs of him, I don't know what the American would be, but in Britain we would say unhinged, looks crazy. Yes, I'm sure there were mental health issues, but I believe there was mind control issues and a demonic possession. It's still not clear what the outcome in terms of the people behind this, what that was for. But what it does do is it does show up the lamentable state of the education system in the US, because I understand this guy actually was expelled for a few days because he turned up to school with bullets in his bag. So they had the warnings, and a number of students had said they weren't surprised at all. So that's a separate issue. And that's why it was very good of President Trump to say, you know, we've not just got to say the words, we've really got to get into this and see what we need to do to change things. And the other point, which is much more on our topic, is that we know, those of us who keep our ears to the ground, that's everybody that listens to this radio show and other shows, that time and time again, when there's been a false flag, there has generally been some form of drill or practice prior to that. Now, what's really interesting in this school is they had a fire drill that morning, and they were told, listen, if it goes off again, it's for real. Now, British people will be totally shocked to know that in America, in schools, they run drills simulating a shooting, and they actually have charges, dummy charges, which they set off, which sound like gunshots. So that the pupils get used to it and to go away from where the shooting is. Now, of course, in Britain, that's just outrageous, but that's what they do, and that's the state that's going on in America at the moment. So the fact that there was a drill, a practice beforehand, gives me some great concerns. All right, let's move on now to the latest one, which is the Iranian plane. again, the key here is the passenger list. So far, I have not had anything to tell me that it was a hit. The only issue I have is the number of dead that's been announced, and that's 66. So that to me is very, very suspicious, although the airline has temporarily retracted that figure. So I've had no information that it was anything other than an accident, simply because it's in Iran, and the intelligence agencies are not very strong in Iran, so the information coming back isn't very good. It's very difficult to operate undercover in Iran. But nevertheless, we need to know who's on the passenger list for that. And that's really important. I want now to look at the economy. I had to make notes on this one because there was so much happening this time. We've seen the stock market absolutely come down, and then it's made some sort of rally. It's just over 25,200, I think. So it's nowhere near where it was a couple of weeks back, but it has recovered. And I wanted to let people know that that attack was to hit the stock market was not just normal trading. There was a deliberate attempt not to what we would all imagine, say the Rothschilds or some great player who wanted to knock it down and then buy them up cheap. That's business. That's what happens in America. But it was about hitting the funding of the military. Again, people outside of this radio show won't be aware that the United States military is not entirely, but it's largely funded by the profits from Wall Street. Wall Street funds the size of the military. And the military is right behind President Trump. All the regular forces are right behind him. And so one of the ways of hitting President Trump is to hit his power base, which is the military. So by hitting the stock market, what they were hoping to do was to begin to threaten or starve the US military of funds. Now, interestingly enough, we'll come on to the Dragon Society later, but the Dragons and other loosely called white hats intervened, and that's why we got a stabilization of Wall Street. Had there not been an intervention, that would have continued to go down, and then the much prophesied collapse in the stock market would have happened. But it wasn't a collapse designed to suck out the profits. It was a design to prevent the military from being too close to Trump. It's failed. The stock market has come back up again. This shows you the war, and I'm going to use that word deliberately, the war that is taking place on this planet at the moment. Let's talk about Korea. The established media, again, got it completely wrong. Russia moved 300,000 combat troops to the border of North Korea and 50,000 support troops. And everybody was saying in the established media, oh, well, this is because, you know, if America or the South invades, then Russian troops are going to come in and support the North to fight against the South and against America. And that's just nonsense. The 350,000 troops are there to do two things. The first one, which is the most important one, is to put pressure on the North Korean president. And secondly, if there was an issue, it's to prevent refugees streaming across the border. Now, we know this is true from an out of, you know, never mind what I'm getting told. We know it's true from a wider perspective because the North Korean president has written to the South Korean president asking for a meeting. And the only reason he's written for a meeting is because there are 350,000 Russian troops, Chinese troops, talking about, who are threatening to come in and remove the president of North Korea. I actually think there's a real strong possibility of the North and the South, the barriers being taken down. It's still very, very in the air, but there's a real possibility that some of the control systems and the no man's land between the two could be removed. And that would be very, very interesting. The key players here are Chinese, Russia, India, and Asia. And this is to do with the actual money. These countries are now in a position to overtly make some moves to challenge the petrodollar, the US petrodollar, in public. So we've talked about, you know, the feelings underground and how they have the gold and what they're trying to do with it. But I think in the coming weeks, we're actually going to see something that even the most established newspapers on the planet will have to actually report honestly and truthfully for once, that that Russia, China, India and Asian countries are in the dominant position. Now, President Trump's been very clever, if that's the right word. Why not? And he's had a number of meetings. He had some meetings before Christmas. And he was, and I did actually talk about this on a radio show some time ago, he was maneuvering the United States into a position where it wasn't excluded from this beginning of a new station, a new beginning. He wanted to ensure that America had a role to play, and that meant having enough gold at least to keep going. And I understand that there's been, can I use the word whip round, when the dragons have been involved, that there is possibly now enough gold for America because of Donald Trump. It would never have happened if it had been Clinton, because they can do deals with Trump in terms of he is not a Satanist, and basically which will stabilize the US, any transfer that goes across. I mean, that's really important to understand that we were looking at a very difficult situation. Now, what deals Trump will have to do with the dragons, that's, you know, I have no idea, but that's something that he would have to do that. So that's the news that we've got so far. The only other thing I want to talk about is I'm aware that Marie Kiali has been posting videos attacking Miles Johnson, Ben Emlyn Jones, and me. Emlyn Jones is one of the most gentlest, nicest man I've ever met, and I've actually met him twice. But it's come to my attention through a third party that Marie Kiali has said that I'm a paedophile. Now, normally I don't get involved and I just shrug my shoulders, but that's an allegation that I can't accept. Obviously not. So if anybody has got any video evidence or anything written where she alleges that, please send it to me. My lawyers are Hume, and they're in the Midlands, and I will most certainly take legal action, because of all the things I may or may not be, that's something that I'm certainly not. Now, the thing about Marie Kiali is that she was on Channel 4 documentary, just as I was, and she took a lie detector test on the television show and failed it. Now, I know Miles has said that he thinks the lie detector test was rigged. I don't know that a judge would agree with that, because the company was bona fide. It was doing it in front of television cameras and knew that it would actually be shown. So she hasn't told the truth then. And what also is not known, perhaps, is that a few years ago, the drug squad of the Metropolitan Police raided Marie Kiali's West London home on a very, very credible tip-off, looking for Class A drugs. So she's not in a very strong position legally, and if anyone can provide me evidence that she has actually either written that or said that, then I will take legal action. Absolutely I will. You see, in our alternative industry, what tends to happen is that people post a video and then someone else replies and then someone else replies, and it goes on, and people just get really hot under the collar. I'm not like that. If somebody makes an allegation like that, and I can prove that they've made that allegation, that's actionable. And I certainly won't be looking for a fine. I'll be looking for a prison sentence. You know, people, they sort of think that if you say something on YouTube or you say something on a video, then it doesn't have the same effect as if you wrote it or you spoke in public. But of course it does. It has exactly the same legal weight. And make no mistake, if I find anything actionable, well, it won't be for me, it'll be for the legal team, the lawyers. If they believe they have a 75% chance of action, then we'll do it. So it's a shame that I have to say that, but there comes a point, and this is only through third party, but there comes a point where I won't have that, because if I was guilty, I wouldn't even mention this. I'd run away. I'd probably cancel the radio show. But because that's not what I am, I'm certainly not that. And I will go to court. And I would also want the media not to be excluded. I would want the media there. I would want all witnesses to be fully there, certainly to be interviewed. Certainly anyone who's employed, I would expect their employer to find out what's going on. And anyone who's on a benefit, I would expect the government or the social services to be aware of that. This will be a big thing. You know, that I am certainly not that. And if anybody thinks I am, then, you know, you better come forward and we'll go to court. and that's fine. So that's that. I wanted to finish on a much more positive note. That's the Healing Centre. And it is positive. We were having real difficulties releasing this substantial amount of money from an offshore bank account. It was in Saudi Arabia. And it was just because of the way the situation is. It was held up in a trust, et cetera, et cetera. Well, another funder has come to the rescue. Another person has said to me, actually, I would like to fund that. And doesn't want his name on the centre. He just said, that's something that I really believe in, and I really want to fund that. And the same deal, but I will do that for you this year. Which frees me up a heck of a lot of time from trying to get money out of Saudi Arabia and all the bits and pieces. So, the Healing Centre is still on, but we just have a different funder. And I'm really, really grateful. I'm wonderful that this person, who's obviously listens to the radio show, has come forward and said, I hear you're having difficulties. I will be in a position towards the end of this year to really, you know, make it happen for you. And at least this person said to me, you won't have any issues about having to release monies. I will just literally, you know, write you a check or something like that. So that's really positive. The Healing Centre is still very much going on. You know, it's an exciting time. This funder has also said that he wants to get involved in other projects. That again is really exciting. So what I hope is the next radio show to have more details on that. And God willing, we won't have more aeroplane disasters or shootings in schools. You know, I hope in the very near future that all of these things just end, because they don't serve any purpose. The people who are behind them, you know, they're not sane. They cannot be sane. Nobody who had an ounce of sanity would be involved in that. And the fact that they are doing it shows that the level of, we've said it many times, but it's true, the level of desperation is such that this is their only way of hitting out. The only way of expressing themselves from their point of view is to do this. And my point is, instead of doing that, in God's name, don't you sit around the table and say, okay, this is what I'm responsible for. This is what I've done. I'd like to mend my ways. And I'd like to, you know, to come clean and try and go forward. And you know, that seems to me the human way to deal with this, but to blow up planes, to incite people to shoot students. It's just totally sick. And until we've cleansed all of this satanic fourth dimensional energy from the planet, we can't rest. We really can't rest, whether it's children being abused, whether it's planes being blown up or students being shot. All of this energy can be traced down, I'll be honest to you, to a handful of people. A handful of people who have a spider's web network of agents, mafia type gangsters who all are paid for the job. They have no loyalty. They're just paid for the job. Others of them are blackmailed, mind controlled. But we've got to literally dismantle this system. And President Trump is doing a very good job. And everybody just wants him to get on with it. But that doesn't mean that we sit back and say, oh, he's dealing with it. Each and every one of us, I believe, should take on some responsibility in terms of putting our positive energy forward to challenge the satanic resurgence. And that's what's happening. It's a sort of a last gasp, a last desperate bid by failed people, failed leaders who are desperately trying to claw back some form of gain before the final collapse. So all I'm saying is it's all positive in the sense that we are moving forward, but we are getting these really evil happenings which mar and blight this planet's history. And the important thing to remember is this is not representative of humanity. This is not the state of human affairs. This is the small elite group who are completely mad, completely out of control, and have got nowhere to go. So in no way or shape does anybody off planet look at Earth and say, that lot are all crazy, we can't afford to deal with them. They're not saying that. What they're saying is, I wish that vast majority would get up and throw out that small cabal group. That's what they're saying. And there's a big argument about whether they should do more or not, but I don't want to go down that road. I just want people to realize that this is not, you know, this is not humanity that's corrupt. We're not. It's this small group that have clawed their way to the top and now have got nowhere to go. So that's what I've got to say. And we'll get on with the show. So thanks, JP.
Hello, hello. Oh, there. Okay. Where did you hear any of that, Simon?
Where did you go?
I don't know. Did you lose all of that? Yeah, must
yeah.
Have.
Okay. It just after I finished, it just went quiet. I don't know if the audience had the same.
My mic mute was working far too well. Anyway, from Nuck Choris, our favourite 8 o'clock a.m. Question poster. Indeed, 8 o'clock a.m. UK, midnight Pacific. This is the best time to get a question in, and until the beginning of the show. So, dear Simon, we had a session back in September 2017, and at the end of the session, you said that you hoped I would have a certain experience after having talked with you. I'm very pleased to say that I've now had that experience, and I now know why I am being attacked, and you have been right all along about which group of people is doing it to me. As a result of having this experience, the attacks are no longer affecting me the way they used to. Good. I hope to one day get another session with you so we can take it further. Thank you so much for helping me regain memories and helping me understand most of the experiences I've had throughout my life. And big thanks to you, JP, for hosting the show. I wish you all the best. God bless both of you. So, not really a question, but a bit of great feedback.
Yes, well, good. I'm really pleased for that person. The whole point about chatting with people is to try and understand what's going on and then try and put something forward. It's very fashionable or very easy to say, oh, you're being attacked by the reptilians. You've got scratches on your body. You know, that's this, that and the other. But, you know, when you've had a little bit of experience, then, you know, you can look at these marks and be reasonably sure what you're looking at. Knowledge is power. And if you get back some memory or you get back an understanding, it completely changes the ball game. It puts you in the position of strength. That's what the bad guys do. They rely on us to be in the dark so that they can run rings around us. But when we begin to grasp things, we begin to look in the right places. And when we start looking in the right places, we find them. And when we find them, we deal with them. So I'm really, really pleased. This was the guy, if I remember, who you showed me the pictures while we were on air.
That's right. Back. Yeah, that's right, with all the scratches.
Yeah, and I have done a session with him, and no doubt I will do another session. But it's great news, and well done. Thank you.
Okay, I was just saying in the chat room, you have no idea how many questions get asked in a week of Simon, and really all I can do is pick out the questions from today, from the beginning of today until the show, and that's enough to fill the whole show, and more, several. Anyway, so here's a question. Another thing is people ask multiple questions, and if you ask multiple questions, I'm probably only going to select one of them. And since this is a question that is dear to my heart, I'll read this one. It's from Dr. Lyra. Hi, Simon and JP. Simon, could you give a bit of background about Maldek, why it was attacked and how it was destroyed? Who inhabited the planet before it was destroyed? Thank you. Peace, love, and light.
Right. right, okay. We should understand Maldek to be not dissimilar from Planet X or Nibiru, which is a planet that's been hollowed out and was used as a base. When you reach a certain level of technology, you create your own aircraft carriers. The United States Sixth Fleet has aircraft carriers which allow it to project its air power in many, many parts of the world. So what those with the great technology do is have planets or moons or asteroids, which are their aircraft carrier. It's a great defense. It's a fantastic disguise, and it's reasonably well known. It was well known enough to make Star Wars films, partly based on the Death Star, which is exactly what we're looking at, something like that. Right, we need to go back to understanding the great threat to all of anything that's got two legs, two arms, and two eyes, and that's AI. AI is the great threat, not the reptilians. They're a threat, but they're not the great threat. It's AI that's the great threat. And it was foreseen a very long time ago that the reptilians were inadvertently transmitting AI. In other words, AI was being inadvertently carried in the advanced computers that the reptilians had. When a person or thing programs a computer, they don't put their personality into it, but they put their way of thinking into it. Now, I think a programmer might sort of agree with me on that one. That's why AI has a slight reptilian sense to it. And when AI tries to create itself in the physical world, it has a slight reptilian look to it, because it lived for countless generations in computers, in spacecraft, traveling from galaxy to galaxy, which were programmed by reptilians. Now, Maldek was a planet star, I beg your pardon, planet or dead object. There wasn't life as we would understand it on there in the same sense as we have on Earth. But nevertheless, there was life both inside and outside. And the reptilian faction had decided to move this object into this quadrant and then to make Earth the base. So all of this time ago, and what are we talking, 125 million years ago. I think that's probably what we're talking about. 125 million years ago, they were already deciding that Earth was going to be a key location, and they were going to not colonize it, but they were going to establish it and then create a slave race, trade on it. And it was their furthest flung element. And it became known to certain higher human groups, so those from the fifth dimension upwards, excuse me, but the fifth dimension were the groups that actually did the attack, that had they been allowed, the reptilians been allowed to make the base on Earth, it would have brought forward their plans to such a point that they couldn't have been stopped. And the only way to do it was to undertake a suicide mission, because there was no way anybody was getting back, to launch an attack on it. And that's exactly what happened. The attack was so great that it damaged Mars. It damaged the atmosphere on this planet. It created some of the oceans, because some of the water from Mars was sucked off and caught in Earth's gravity. And so our oceans are a mixture of Martian water and ours, and our bacteria and some of our viruses are a mixture. And that is why today scientists are now saying, as far as they'll go publicly, that, oh yes, I'm sure that bacterial viruses have made it from Mars. And it wasn't, what, 20 years ago when they took a slice of a meteorite from Mars and looked at it and said, there's bacteria here. And they now accept that, you know, Earth has got a large percentage of its bacterial or viral creation from Mars. So the destruction caused a lot of collateral damage. We talk about the Lyran loss, the Lyran pain, but the fifth dimensional humans that undertook this attack also carry a lot of karma. Don't like the word guilt. A lot of karma, because the weapon they used was far too powerful. Not only took out the base that the reptilians were on, but it caused the planet to break up, and it caused a lot of other collateral damage. But I suppose, looking back on hindsight, if that hadn't done, if that hadn't gone about. Life on this planet would have been immensely different. 66.5 million years ago, a meteorite crashed in the boundary between the North Americas and the South Americas, and it wiped out the vast majority of the dinosaurs on this planet. And that allowed mammal life to begin to come forward. Had that not happened, we would definitely not be as we are now. And that meteorite was part of Meldek. So when that planet was blown up, huge chunks were thrown into an orbit. One of these orbits decayed and got pulled into the Earth's gravitational field. And that was the huge lump of rock that wiped out the dinosaurs. So it's a bit of an in-joke that the suicide mission by fifth-dimensional humans took out the intelligent reptilians 125 million years ago, and then a piece of their planet went round and round and round, and then 66.5 million years ago came down to Earth and wiped out the unintelligent reptiles. Now, if God's had a hand in that, I wouldn't at all be surprised. But that is the truthful answer to your question. Truthful in the sense that there's still stuff that we don't know, because it was such a long time ago. And the team who were responsible for that and are still incarnating on Earth to this day are fairly cagey about it, simply because there was a huge loss of life. And it's something that they're not particularly pleased about, because they do care about people. So that's my answer, and I hope that helps.
Thank you very much, Simon. And now from Meldek, there's an interesting question. This is a question from Karen. Thank you for your powerful work, and thanks to your close friends and family for supporting you in your endeavors. Her question is, what is the origin of homophobia? As a lesbian in Canada, I've not suffered as severely as many of my LGBTQ brothers and sisters around the world. The extreme hatred that is directed at our community is difficult to fathom. Does this fear originate off-planet, or is it a homegrown human thing? Yeah, what's the off-planet gender situation?
Right. interesting. Generally, males are straight off-planet. But what happened with the hybridization of the human race on Earth, and the mixing of genes and the mixing of intentions, this element of what can we call it, gayness, grew up, and it was generally accepted until certain city-states started to use it as a control system. You have to be aware that in satanic rituals, the gay homosexual side, male on male side, is used as part of programming, and they use that for programming and at a ceremonial level. So although it wasn't practiced at a high level, it was undertaken at certain ceremonies or rituals, because it was something that they used to program. So it was by and large the human element. And as the satanic fourth dimensional energy began to take hold on the greys and the humans, this is when we saw things like paedophilia and all other things grow. Now, I'm not putting gayness with that line. Let me make that absolutely clear. It's completely different. But what I'm saying is that originally this was something that came about from the hybridization of the human race. And it was perfectly normal. It was seen as fine. You make a choice, as it should be today, actually. You make a choice, you're of this sexual persuasion or not, or what have you. But it became manipulated by certain elite city-state groups, elders, whatever you want to call them, who realized that if they outlawed it, they could then blackmail people. And it was about the men thing. It was about the male. They weren't bothered about girl-on-girl, woman-on-woman. They weren't really worried about that. It was about putting control on the male because it's a, and has been a patriarchal society. So that's where the focus was. And then as we went through, right through up until the 50s and 60s, it was seen as anti the church. And this is the hypocrisy of it, because there are a number of church men who are gay themselves. And yet, you know, publicly they will portray this image, but privately they are undertaking gay acts. You know, and this is like crazy. But it was about control systems. It wasn't about the right of choice. It wasn't about whether a person felt that way or not. It was simply, we're outlawing it. This is not on. And it's always the sign of a primitive society, who can't accept that anybody could be different. You know, you try and go and work in a bank as a man without wearing a tie, you'd be sent home, or more likely actually, they'd keep a set of ties for people who forget them, shall we say, and they'd give you the tie for the day. This is how society is controlled. And so the answer is that it was through manipulation of genetics, not designed for that. They weren't trying to do that at all. It was just part of the development. And so that element came up. Originally it was accepted and it was just normal. And then as society became stratified and structured and hierarchical, so the individuals who had clawed and crawled and lied and cheated their way to the top of the pyramid, so they then used that to control the men underneath him. And what we have today is just a holdover of these so-called establishment values. And that's what that's all about.
Thank you. So, now the next one, where was it going? Right, okay. Here's an interesting one. This is from Sheena. Hello, Simon JP. Look forward to your program and hearing your discussions. My question is, what does the appearance of shadow beings right before conceiving a child mean? The beings I'm referring to in particular are the black shadow man with the hat, black spiders that crawl across the ceiling, and black smoke that continuously change shape above my bed. If it makes a difference, the shadow man would appear most frequently leading up to me finding out I was pregnant. When he was there, he appeared to be in front of a gateway or portal. It was blacker than everything else in the room and felt like some sort of energy vacuum. I'm concerned for what this may mean and your opinion on such matters. P.S. I've had experiences before this and since, but I'm most concerned with whether this involves my children or just myself. Very deep question.
Right. Yeah, it is serious. You've got three things going on there. You've got the spiders, which are AI. You've got the smoke, which is a demonic creature, which we would possibly call a djinn, and you've got the shadow man, which is a reptilian energy entity. So you have three separate entities incarnating by and large into the third dimension. The shadow being and the smoke being are fourth dimensional, just, well, one is and one's just in. Now the other one is much more interesting. That's the spider. That's a deeper fourth dimension, which is coming through. There's no coincidence. If you're getting this when you're pregnant, it will be because the child that you carry, depending on what the situation is, the soul in that person is of great interest to them. Now, I've never been in the business for, you know, giving platitudes or trying to hide things from people. Any time I'll hide something as if it's a matter of life and death. It's obviously about the child or children. That's why they're turning up when you're pregnant. That's what that's about. And what are they doing? Well, they're there checking out the child. They're checking out the soul of the child to see if it's arrived. I have to often talk about how black magicians scan every so often live births. Well, if there's something quite urgent for them, they will actually come and visit before the child is physically born. I would suggest that you very kindly drop me an email and then we'll have a chat. I'll see what I can do to help you. But what you're describing to me is an all-out effort by what I just quite loosely call the bad guys as a fourth dimension to gang up. And I would suggest that your child, there's quite a lot you can do to protect your child and help your child. And I will do everything in my power to help you.
Okay, a question from Martin Zich. And this is a very interesting. Does every soul have a unique name that is forever? Does soul also choose the name for the life in particular incarnation, or does not?
Oh, very interesting. No, the name can change, but the frequency that it's attached to won't change, and I need to explain that. If an individual has a very important, and I don't mean necessarily important for them, but I mean important for humanity as well as them. If they have, say, as a North American Indian 200 years ago, then what will happen is, if they incarnate again, there will be some element of the name which will have some connection with that past life. They will have some habit or some interest that will have a past life connection. So if, say, as a North American Indian, you lived by one of the great rivers, and you reincarnate in this life, subconsciously you will be drawn to a river. It doesn't have to be in North America or Canada. It can be anywhere. It could be the Rhine in Germany. But there will be elements that will pull you, even though perhaps consciously you don't understand it, to relive or reconnect with happy times. If you had a really bad time somewhere, then you don't tend to relive that. So if your name is Archibald in one lifetime, you're not necessarily going to be an Archibald in the second lifetime. Now, there are some occasions when that happens, and children get named the same name that they may have had three or four lifetimes before, but generally speaking, it is not the name that matters. That is the name that your physical body takes. The name is not your soul's name. The name is that of your physical body. So when your physical body dies, that name is put back into the box for someone else to have that name. And then your soul will incarnate in another physical body. But the parents will give a name that has some connection to what you've done in the past. And as you grow up and as you develop, you will begin to show traits or personality happenings that have some link to the past. For instance, I have a very clear memory of inhabiting a female body, perhaps around about 1806. And I always say to people, you know, thank goodness, because if you just inhabit the same sexed body every time, then you have one viewpoint on life. Now, that's not right or wrong. It's just that if you want to perhaps understand and experience the world, then it is nice to have had it from the other perspective, especially on a patriarchal planet. You know, most people will come here to change the world, and they'll take a male body because it's a patriarchal planet and the natives are less discriminatory against you if you're a male. Now, there are problems with that, is that everything you do is time limited. And if you come here, let's say, for instance, you have a female soul in your body, but you come here as in a male body, that's clearly you've got a big drive to do because you've determined to do that. But if you are a male soul in a female body, then you are here to learn what it's like to be on the receiving end, to have to fight that extra bit harder, to have to make that extra effort to be taken seriously, to begin to show the university or school you're every bit as good as your male counterparts. Now, if it's on a patriarchal, matriarchal planet like Cyrus or one of the other planets there, it would be in reverse. So that's what occurs, and that's what happens. And I know that I collected fossils back all those years ago. Now, the name that I have, that this physical body that I have today, does not match very clearly the name that this woman had. But we both collect fossils. And that's no coincidence. So, you know, if we're lucky enough to know, oh, I had a past life in this, or I'm really confident, or a reader does a reading for us and he or she says, yep, you had the past life here, there. I've had people that I've said, you know, you've got a real past life connection with Italy. Have you been to, and I might read off some of the cities, and they'll say to me sometimes, my goodness me, I went here and I stood at the plaza and I looked and I thought, I know that building. I used to live there. Now, that's fantastic. Absolutely wonderful that that lucky person was able to access that memory. Most of us, you know, can't get that way, but we just feel a draw to a particular location. So the answer is the name of the physical body, but it is the intent of the soul that replicates itself. Thank you.
A very, very interesting response, Simon. Thank you very much. Now, do you remember there was a lady who called, asked a question maybe last week or week before about, seeing a woman on the train with green arms?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so you asked me if my husband saw the green arms. He did not. Only I saw it. You have previously stated that coloured dreams are real. I had an experience years ago as a 14-year-old child when I visited my father on my farm where I spent 12 years growing up. I found myself standing on the bank of the dam looking up at a large spacecraft, leaf-shaped. It was early morning and the sunrise was particularly colourful with bright red through the clouds. The craft was shiny against the sunrise. I woke up in bed thinking, oh, just a dream, but I've never forgotten it. As a young child, I had reoccurring dreams of falling into what I can only describe as a black nothingness, and I then felt like I was in the ocean at night struggling to stay afloat. This was really unpleasant, and I would always lose my stomach as I felt myself falling from a great height. The last time this occurred, I remember screaming out, no, not again. I never had this experience again that I could remember. Is there anything that indicates that this dream could have been real?
Right, let's just do a bit of a correction here. What I've actually said is that if you dream in colour, as opposed to black and white, it's not that it's real. If you have something in black and white, then you are potentially in the astral. And that's just as real. But if you are seeing it in colour, it means there's a real possibility that your physical body has been taken as well. We tend to see things in when we are in the astral, when our energy body has left our physical body, we tend to see in black and white. But when we see in colour, then it's indicative that our physical body has been taken or has travelled. Both are real. I value both just as highly. Leaf-shaped craft. The problem we have here is that may not have been, that may have been what they wanted you to see. But it may have been genuine. This is a difficulty that we have. We can identify, a particular species by its craft. That's why sometimes, different groups lend each other craft to make it difficult, because they don't have markings on it. It doesn't say United States Air Force printed on the side of it. So we can't go too much on the shape of the craft. What we can do is, you talked about, you're like swimming in a sea and you were fighting against that and there was a falling feeling and you were saying, oh no, not again. That doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. It means that you're aware that you are going to have another one of these unexplained experiences. And this is the moment of consciousness between this planet and somewhere else. And you're able to say, oh, no, not again. And then you enter their world. The falling feeling is either leaving your body or being returned to your body. I think it's being returned to your body. What you're not getting is what's happening in between. So nobody will come to an individual on this planet and just stand there and smile at them and disappear. You know, that's what so many people recognize. I saw this figure, we stood there and then it went. What they don't grasp is that there would have been some interaction. There would have been some communication. Nobody comes, God knows how many trillion miles or through how many wormholes, just to stand at the end of your bed for 30 seconds and disappear again. Not unless they're disturbed or somebody comes into the room or something like that. But generally, and I've said this, these things have to be project managed. you have to work out the timings, you know, how much time you have in that individual, you have to choose the right moment. There's so much that has to be pre-planned beforehand. And so just to stand there at the end of the bed and disappear, no, that's just not what it's about. What's happening is that the vast majority of people do not remember that vital moment. They remember the moment where they see the creature, and possibly they remember it going, but that slice in between is like nothing happened. And only through regression, hypnotic regression, or perhaps talking it over and understanding it and getting a little bit of information and working on that, can we begin to get the subject, for he or she to get something back. It doesn't mean it's bad. That's not necessarily why it's been hidden. Most of these things are actually good, believe it or not. And there's probably about 25 to 30% which are very bad. The rest are either middle of the road or on a positive side. And it's not perhaps in the individual's interest to remember it. That's their point of view. My point of view is, and it's always been this, that if something happens to your physical body, you have a right to know. And nobody should actually wipe your mind so that you don't know what's happened. Because people need to be upfront and open. And if they're going to come and have a communication with you and a chat with you, why should they remove that from you? Why do they not want you to know? So that's a big point. And I did actually some years ago have this debate with something off planet. It was actually a tall grey. And I said to the tall grey, why do you not talk? Why do you not talk to the subjects? And he said, in his own way, excuse me, he said basically, well, because I'm going to wipe their mind. Why would I talk to them? They're not going to remember anyway. That's a fundamental problem. And that's abduction. That's not on. And so what I would suggest is that you do have more memory. It is there. And if it becomes a real problem, then you need to go and have some regression therapy. See if you can get something back. They do tend to stop. They come at you when you're a certain age or certain energies. And they're particularly key on that. Or if they want you to do something, or maybe you are going to do something and they want to steer you in a certain direction, or they want to observe you. God knows there are so many agendas here. But the bottom line for me is that they should ask permission. And if you agree to that, then they should always let you know what's happened. But sadly, of course, what's happening is they don't ask permission. That's a good question. Thank you.
Okay, so it's top of the
tea
hour.
Time.
I think it's tea time. What do you reckon?
I think so.
Let's have a nice little 5 minute, 5 minute tranche of Dire Straits. Water of Love from everybody.
Oh, excellent. Water again.
Yep. And welcome back to Connecting Consciousness, and I haven't got the mute button on. Simon, are you back with us?
Yes, I'm here.
I built this fabulous little box that enables me to press roughly hard down onto a button. But if the switch is in one and I've got it switched open, I hit the button and it goes quiet because I've got it around the wrong way. Anyhow.
Brilliant. Yes, it's time for me to thank people.
Yes, thanking time.
I'll do that. I've had a few internet issues again this week. I was chatting to the guy who very kindly offered to step in with the funding for the healing centre, and three times the internet went. We were on an internet phone call, and that was just cut. I was just reading through some of the blog there. People are a bit confused about the Saudi Arabian bank account, and people are sort of quite bemused, saying, why is Simon trying to get money out of a Saudi Arabian bank account? So the initial woman who came forward very kindly wanted to fund the healing center. Her money was held in an offshore account in Saudi Arabia. But to transfer that, this lady was in Spain, to transfer it out from there to Spain and then to Britain, seemed to have so many huge administrative hurdles. And then money was taken by the Spanish Central Bank and not released. And in fact, I've got my bank is in touch with them saying what's going on. So that was a problem. It was getting so difficult. And then another funder, I will call him a very spiritual businessman, stepped in and said, you know, I hear you're having problems. Listen, if you can prepare to wait for the end of the year, then I will fund this for you. And it won't be an offshore account. It'll just be a straight bank transfer and you can do it, which is great, because when it initially kicked off, I did say to people that I couldn't promise the healing center in this month or that month, but it would be the end of the year. I gave myself that time because I know how difficult it is to set projects up. You know, as an ex-politician, you know, I know how difficult it is to try to get projects up for the communities. It took months and months. Did it in the end, of course, but it takes months. So I still want to hit that target before the close of play. This year, 2018, I want a healing center up and running, be fantastic. So the new guy stepped in and said, look, don't worry about it. You know, I'll deal with that. Whatever else happens with, that's fine. But he wants to fund that. All right. Let me just thank. And the result of that was the internet's been going down. I haven't got a full list of people who very kindly donated. So this is not a full list. And so if your name is not mentioned here, simply because I couldn't get access to get your name. So I want to thank Nicole, Tom, Bernard, Elaine, Martin, Sue, Katrine, Christopher, Danielle, Kenny, R. Scott, Vivian, Cheryl, Ruth, Shirley, Sandra, Simone, Sheridan, A1, Dahlia, Imogen, George, Ulrich, and I think I would pronounce this as Theri, and Can Tu Chan. There were others. Unfortunately, I haven't got the list. I want to thank you all so much for supporting me and the work. It is getting really exciting, and the challenges are growing, but so are the rewards at the end. And the reward has got to be the freedom of the human race. And we won't accept anything less than that. So thank you very much indeed. God bless you all.
Okay, so there's a, here's a bit of a question. So after dinner question. This is from Dahlia. Thank you both for your amazing show. I am new to it, but I have in the last 2 weeks listened to all shows 2018 and 2017. We got 2015 and 2016 as well. I have a bit of an embarrassing question. Wanted to save it up for a session with Simon, but his appointment calendar has not been opened yet. So here we go. Sit back and relax. I recently had a dream of having sex with a sweet-looking reptilian that had apple green skin, tiny scales, and a smallish round head without scary fangs. It was about 5'8", was on its side next to me, and it had a very benevolent, amicable energy to it. It was not held. I was not held, nor forced, nor sat on. When I woke up, I felt happy, energized, but relaxed, and did not feel violated or weird. If I'm truthful, it was the best sexual encounter I've ever had, and I still think fondly of the being. From what I've understood in your shows, it's that not all reptilian-looking beings are malicious and with bad intent. This being really did not feel like it wanted to harm me. After listening to some of your listeners' dreams, I got worried that I may have been hoodwinked. So I meditated, and in the meditation asked the being if it was benevolent and helpful, which took me a lot of courage. It said neither yes or no, but looked down guiltily as if caught having done something shameful and selfish. I feel it was truthful and suddenly felt it was a young, inexperienced adolescent. Can you comment on this? And may this have been a breeding attempt? I'm 46 years old and have had strong premenstrual syndromes in the past 2 years. Sometimes I felt like I was pregnant with much weight gain and strong appetite. She's never been pregnant. This is my first alien encounter. I am vegan and have light green eyes and feel much love for the mantids. Hang on a second. There is an addendum. When I asked my last question about my dream, I was very sorry I used the wrong word. I'm German. Sometimes I don't know the right English word. Did not mean the alien seemed adolescent, but meant quite young. For right. Me, this age is from 20 years on. I'm sorry about this. So anyway, that's from Dahlia. The green, benevolent reptilian in the bed.
Right. Well, first of all, anyone who speaks more than one language is brilliant. Well done. I only speak one language. So you have German and you have English as a second language. You may have others. So I think you did remarkably well for that. The website is only closed at the moment for bookings because we had a backlog. We got a new program, software program that's running. Andy Bale has done an absolutely amazing job. And there are always glitches. There are going to be problems. So the only reason we're closed at the moment is just so that we can tweak it, get it back on, and then it'll be opened again. So that's just a temporary thing. Right, let's get on to your dream. First of all, well done, the courage you've had there. I know you didn't give your name and we wouldn't have put your name out anyway, but well done for doing that. I remember 5 years ago attending a local UFO club in Scarborough in North Yorkshire, which met every 2 weeks, I think, in a local pub. And having addressed the group, there was one woman there with her husband who then proceeded to tell everyone that she'd had a sexual relationship, an encounter with a reptilian, and her poor old husband sitting there and he knew nothing about it. And she said that having heard me gave her the courage to speak out, empowered her, that she realized that she wasn't on her own. This wasn't just something that's crazy. This is something that's gone on all over the planet. And if you can accept that and you can move on, then you become empowered. So what you've described to me is potentially, it is a benevolent reptilian type creature. There's no doubt about that from the experience you've given me there. It could be one of the, when I say hollow earth, I don't mean a reptilian being living in Agartha as such, but there are underground bases which are not benevolent. There are native reptilian type beings, and this sounds very much like that. I would, from what you've described to me, I would suggest that the entity was perhaps between 5 foot and 6 foot. Be interested to know if I'm wrong, but I would suggest between 5 foot and 6 foot. These beings, if I've got it right, are between and much shorter than the traditional reptilian type being. They're also not as muscular. They also have a somewhat stronger understanding of human emotions. The fact that you didn't feel scared or nervous, this probably will make you smile. I hope it does. But this wasn't your first time. This is the time you've remembered. So for some reason, this particular sexual encounter, you've remembered it. But if it had been your first time, you wouldn't have been very relaxed and you wouldn't have been very happy about a scaly being getting into bed with you, obviously wanting sex. So this implies very strongly that you have been involved with this being for a very long time. Breeding program, yes, possibly. But there's much, much more to it than that. If you, you've got green eyes, so there's a bit of a giveaway. If you have, let's just say 100,000 years ago, if you incarnated in a female reptilian body and the soul in this young male was in another male body and you had a relationship, then his connection to your physical body is not important. His connection to the soul is important. And if you had a very strong relationship, then he has literally found you 100,000 years later. Now, I don't know we can use the word soulmate because there's not enough information for me to make that decision. But, you know, many people don't understand that sometimes when these things occur, it's because there's been a past relationship over many lifetimes. And, you know, all that's happening, excuse me, is that one partner is finding the other partner. And the fact that you're not finding it difficult implies that you know this person, this being. You don't know the physical body, but you are connecting with the soul. You have to decide what you want to do. You said it was the best sex you ever had. So, you know, it's entirely up to you how you deal with that. If you're not being, my only concern is, you know, people are being hurt. If you're not being harmed by it, and, you know, then so what? The point is you cannot discuss this openly. You cannot go and chat about it because, you know, you will just be ostracized, and nobody except spiritual people will understand what's going on here. You have a background that you're not even aware of. So you need to go on a personal journey, lots of meditation, You know, let's see if we can get a chat, you know, as soon as we're open, you know, just book in. And I think you'll find that you have a very, very complicated history going right back. Thank you for having the braveness to write in. It's very easy, relatively speaking, to say, I had an alien experience, relatively speaking, and to describe what happens as I was in the car and then the flying saucer landed and I got out and these little beings were there and then I had this missing time. But to say you had a sexual experience, then, you know, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. And, you know, that's what I went public with many years ago now. But if you look on the history, people since the 1930s have been saying exactly what you're saying. And so it's something that happens. Humans are compatible with a large number of off-planet beings simply because we're humanoid. And that's the way of it. And is it not the Bible that says in its own words that the aliens, the gods, came down and found Earth women to be very desirable and so had children with them? And here we have the beginnings of the, you know, altered race. The half human, half alien beings. And so that's something, of course, that the church can't accept officially, publicly, privately. It knows the truth. Of course it does. You know, how many key people in government, top level or top level of money or businesses don't receive money from the Vatican? You know, if you don't want to blackmail a person through, you know, paedophilia or through anything else, you might just say, hey, what, you know, this $3 million or $5 million, whatever it is, if you don't take it, you're going to end up on the railroad line dead. So they'll take it, and then they are controlled, and therefore their image or their value or their views, whatever they have privately, they cannot share. They can't begin to change the law. They can't begin to change the awareness. You know, they can't make it a curriculum subject in school. You know, aliens. They can't do that because they're under orders not to address any subject that means that the elite lose control of the human race. And so that's what we need to do, don't we? We need to actually put out stories that challenge the established view. The difficulty is that so many people are primitive. I remember as a politician, I remember over a 4-year term, I only got one letter which said that I shouldn't be allowed to represent the people. I shouldn't be allowed to be a politician because I talked about aliens. And I took a great deal of pride in the fact that only one person bothered to write in and show everyone how primitive and how bigoted they were. And they got a very interesting letter back from the chief officer basically saying, actually, Councillor Parks attends every meeting. He's chair of this, that and the other committee. He stands up and talks. He's a damn good constituency politician. You know, why don't you come and listen to him speak? Of course, they never did. So there will always be a small bigoted group of people who, for whatever reason, can't come out of the swamp. The rest of us who call ourselves spiritual will move beyond that, and we need to accept and understand that what we're taught in school isn't necessarily the truth. That's a good question. Well done. Thank you.
Well, I was just thinking, isn't the whole premise of the Christian church that some alien comes and makes a, you know, makes a baby with a human? You know, sort of thing.
Yes, but you know what, JP?
Just saying.
It's got, yeah, no, but no, it's a really good point, but I need to just put it right. It's got something in front of it. G-O-D. And if you are G-O-D, you're separate from everything and whatever you do is fine. Remember, we're talking about the God of the Bible. You know, I've often said, you know, why are you told you're mad if you say, I saw a flying saucer? Okay. But if you talk about, I believe in God, but who's seen God? What photographs are there of God? What evidence is there of God? When did anybody say on the news, God is real? Yet we accept God in the controlled element because it's the official line. So if you stick the word G-O-D in front of something, then you're not allowed to attack it. You're not allowed to call it wrong. Oh, no, that's our religion. That's our religion. And that's, again, only can come about because so many people are primitive in their evolvement and their understanding and their knowledge. If you took the majority of these people and you took them out into space, or you didn't have to do that actually, you brought something in and addressed them for 15 minutes, something from some far distant place, those people would deny everything they've just seen. They would fundamentally refuse to believe their own eyes and their own ears. And that's the primitiveness of the control system. You know, that's it. You know, when the, what we call the war over the White House, when all the UFOs were over the White House in the early 50s and the searchlights were on them and they fired goodness knows how many artillery rounds, anti-aircraft, was it 1942, I think. And it was reported wildly. Thousands of people saw this. The newspapers covered it. And yet it didn't have the great effect on the people. It had a massive effect at government level, which was hidden and nobody saw that. But the public, you know, were given another news story the next day. And that's the difficulty that we face, that there's still a very large proportion of people who are absolutely refusing to move out of their own paradigm. And, you know, they're going to have to do it, because if they don't do it, it's going to be done for them. That's a really good question. Thank you.
Okay, yes, indeed. Right, so, a little bit of feedback there. Right, okay. Right, so, here's a question. Hi, Simon and JP. This is from Eddie. Thank you all for your good, great work and kindness. Simon, you mentioned recently in your latest interview with Kerry Cassidy that Hillary Clinton could not be dealt with and arrested and brought to justice without also dealing with Bill, and that he, quote, has very strong connections with something quite, says something quite usual, but I think it's something quite unusual. Can you expand what these usual connections are, please? I had long thought that the two of them, Hillary was the more clever, evil and powerful one in the shadow world. Is this incorrect? I, and I'm sure many other good, kind people, want to finally see the likes of these, Kissinger, Soros, Cheney, finally brought to justice in truth and reconciliation for the whole world to see. Thanks and many blessings, Eddie.
I couldn't agree with you more. Absolutely. The list of names you gave there are people whose time is up. They have no longer legally any game to play on this planet. The game they're playing is, you know, borrowed time. I don't agree with you in terms of where the power lies between the two Clintons. Hillary would appear to have been much more savvy than Bill, but that was because she was more reptilian than Bill, and therefore she was more fiery. A very clever Bill and Hillary, because they had a higher proportion of higher human. They've mixed Palladian with reptilian, and that's why you've got a very dangerous mix. When you mix reptilian and Palladian, you get a very volatile mix in the soul of a person. And that's what those two had. Hillary was most definitely manipulated, totally a puppet, and that's why they wanted her. They did not want somebody in position who would tell them what to do, not even just slightly. So Hillary was the choice because she would, she was up to her neck in stuff. Therefore, she couldn't say boo to a goose, as we say in Great Britain, because the mud they had on her was so great. Bill was the one that got out of his difficulty as president much better than Nixon did. And the reason that he did was because of his connections. And that's why you still see during Democratic rallies that they'll still bring Bill Clinton out. And Bill Clinton can bring the crowds out. The point is that there is a satanic element that is connected to a fourth dimensional energy that is the root of this planet. In other words, Babylon, particularly Babylon, not exclusively so, which can trace an energy string right back, also hacked into by artificial intelligence. And as proof of that, of course, much more recently, we've had the Russian crash, and the Uranium One guy who was going to testify against the Clintons is taken out. So we begin to understand the influence that an individual has who is not president. And that was not Hillary who has the swing and the power to make things happen. It's always been Bill who's had the swing and the power to make things happen. That I hope is clear. But yes, your sentiment, couldn't agree more. It's time for these people. You know, why don't they just say, look, it's over. It's finished. You're losing your audience. You're not getting the control that you had 5 years ago, 10 years ago. What is the point of this? Why don't you just go on one of Elon Musk's Tesla motor cars and go to Mars? I know it's a one-way trip and those motor cars come back. But you know what? I don't really mind if people like that go to Mars and don't come back again. So, you know, why don't you jump on the shuttle and go to Mars and start another life up? You know, why don't you do that? Go and retire on Mars, but on the other side of Mars, so we don't have to see you. Now, that's my view. And these people have the money and the power to change the world for good. You know, and I'm going to go off topic here, but it's not off topic. I won't apologize for this. When I go on and I go on my emails, I have BT, and I get all these adverts come up on the right-hand side trying to pull on my heartstrings, give £5 to UNESCO or £5 to WaterAid or £5 to this, and they'll see this imploring black child looking at me. This is emotional blackmail. And yet, somebody can put a Tesla motor car, a God knows how many millions of dollars, on a shoot up to Mars, and then the two rockets can come back and land on Earth. Somebody can order a complete new nuclear missile refit for the British submarine nuclear deterrent at $3 billion. Somebody can say we're going to have a new airport. Somebody can say this. And yet I've got photographs appearing, and we all have them, of children who we are told don't have enough water, don't have enough food, and you the people of the earth, put your hand in your pocket, you the people, and you give us money. Excuse me? What are my governments doing? What are these wealthy people doing? Why don't they give some of their wealth out? Why are we being made to feel responsible for the issues and the policies of these leaders who create these situations and keep women and children and men, but women and children because they're least able to defend themselves on a patriarchal planet, keeping them in those disgusting conditions that we wouldn't even keep our animals, our pet animals in? That's the satanicness on this planet. That's the point. And the sooner that the vast majority of the public see through in the Western world, see through this and say, and start asking questions. Why are you asking me for $5 when I know that you've just authorized X, Y, and Z? This is what's wrong. But the problem is that the human race are inherently good. The vast majority of people are good, and they don't see the tricks being played on them. They're not stupid. Human beings are not stupid. They're just naive and trusting. If you come here to this planet and you've never been anywhere else, and you arrive here with a clean sheet of paper, you don't know right and wrong, you don't know what's expected, and when someone tells you something, you think, well, that must be true. Now, when you come here from somewhere else, you've had experiences off other planets, you think, well, that's not right. Why are you doing that? And this is the difference between people who immediately wake up and then go on some sort of quest of self-learning, and then they try and do things for service to others, and the vast majority of human-type people who are struggling to come to terms with the fact that the people they elect are downright evil. And, you know, that's the problem we've got. And it's not that people are stupid. It's that they have been tricked, and they just don't get it. And that's the battle we face, the battle we face to convince people. You know, if I go to a conference, one of my conferences, I love it when there's new people there. And I always ask, how did you hear about me? You know, was it through a friend, or did you hear a radio show, or what was it? Because we need to engage with new people. We need to engage with new people, not because we're not valuing those people who have been loyal and stayed with us from the beginning, but we've got to reach out. We've got to get that 51%. We've got to get the majority, because there is no alien going to come down here and save the day for us. The only alien we'll ever find is a false prophet, the second coming, which is just designed to get people to give their sovereignty up. And I've always said, don't ever do that. So another good question that's dear to my heart, because it's about the freedom of humanity.
So, from Christianity to Islam. Simon, what is your perspective on the source of the Quran? Who was Muhammad communicating with? And if possible, please share what you know about the Black Stone at Mecca, with heartfelt appreciation for the work you both do. Jeanette.
Right. I've always been very careful with religion, because if a person chooses to believe in A, B, or Z, that's entirely up to them. And it's not my intention, nor do I want to, cause aggravation. But at the same time, I do have an opinion, and we're all entitled to our opinion. Religion is not the same as believing in God. I believe in God, but I call God the great creator or source. But my understanding of God is that, as I think the vast majority of the people listening to radio shows and being aware is. So if you have a nation of people that's emerging, you want to control them. Well, money, the Babylon spell, is one good way. The second good way to control them is through a culture. The third good way is through a law of religion. And so what will happen is that certain prophets will come to the earth, apparently, and they will give their views. Now, they may be very genuine, but the people who are transcribing this might think that they can use these words for their own ends. I'm very, very cautious of any religion that puts the male in a dominant position. Now, that's the case in the Jewish religion, and it's the case in the Muslim religion, where the women are not entitled to the same thing as the men. So immediately I have a problem, because that's not equitable. What I have said about the Muslim religion is that the Muslim teachings are far in advance of the Western world, because they actually have a concept of demonic energies, which is completely not covered in the Western Christo-Judish Bible, but it is in the Muslim one. So, but don't take my approval of that as an approval for a system that doesn't treat people fairly. So all I would say on this score is that anything that's written in a book on this planet was written by the people who make the history. And if you make the history, you can rewrite history. I think that very good people came to this planet with the best intentions of anybody, to try and wake people up, to give examples of how to do things, and they were got at, shall we say, by the establishment, just as goes on today, because their message was a message of hope, and that's not the message they want. If you buy a newspaper, you don't get the message of hope. Never do you get that. They say it doesn't sell newspapers. Well, actually it would, but they are under orders to give bad messages. So whenever Jesus or the prophet gave a good message, there was always somebody, it seemed to me, who wanted to try and turn that message. So that's my answer.
Okay. Right. This is a very long question. Maybe I'll just... Yeah, I'll send that to you personally. All right.
Okay.
Right, Simon. All right. Okay, this is a strange one. Johnny Meg, meatballs. Always great to hear your voices, Simon and JB. Simon, when I was growing up, I would catch my mum rolling small meatballs and eating them raw while preparing meatballs or meatloaf. I would scold her, telling her that's unhealthy. She would say she won't do it anymore, but then I would catch her again in the future. Why someone who grew up in a conservative kosher home would have such a craving? I do not understand. Is there some meaning behind this? Is this a reptilian trait? Anyway, what do you think?
We could make a joke and say, was the woman pregnant? But that would just be a joke. What I don't understand, actually, is why she said she wouldn't do it anymore, and then she would do it. I don't understand why she felt guilty or shamed, and she didn't give you a reason. If she were a child and she was a mother, maybe she thought you would tell other members of the family. Reptilian people, these are human beings that have either a full soul or a large proportion of their soul, which is reptilian, have it very great difficulty giving up meat, for obvious reasons. Very, very great difficulty. And I would suggest, and I do say to people, if you have a sizable proportion of reptilian in you and you are going to give it up, then you have to do it in stages. You cannot do it overnight, not to my knowledge anyway. You have to do it gradually. Without a photograph of the woman in question, I can't tell you what her soul makeup was. But I would suspect that if she was eating raw meat, then she had quite a proportion of reptilian in her. And remember, that doesn't mean that she's a bad person. Just because a person has reptilian in their soul doesn't go that they're bad. It's the choice you make in life. So interesting that you picked that one up, and the fact that she might have said to you, oh, I won't do it again, it may be that she felt that there was something wrong in it, but she couldn't help herself. I think everyone needs to be who they are, and they need to say something like, well, I enjoy it, so I'm going to do it. You know, there's no harm to anybody. Okay.
Okay. So here's a question about QAnon. Dear Simon and JP, unless I missed it, I've not heard you mention or any of the listeners ask about Q Anonymous. Q has confirmed that it is deep US military intelligence and is asking us to research certain things and spread the truth and, quote, red pill who we can. I have been following Q since near the beginning of his post on the website 4chan back in October 2017. Can you tell us anything about Q? This is from Steinauer. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, this is the guy that releases information. This is what we're talking about.
Yeah, little snippets on, usually see it with a sort of grey background.
Yeah, somebody very kindly sent me a clip, a little note from Q a few days ago saying that Q had been alerted to the possibility of a terrorist car incident in London or in Britain. And that would I post it on my site to warn folks. I spoke to who I needed to speak to and was told that there was nothing picked up on the radar at all. It wasn't detectable. I didn't post it, and I'm glad I didn't, because if I'd put a notice up saying terrorist car incident, then I would have looked an idiot. You know, it doesn't mean that it was a deliberate attempt to make me put something up on the website and try to catch me out or make me look stupid or et cetera, et cetera. You know, it could well have been that somebody got some evidence or information that they thought was real and, you know, wanted me to warn people, to save people. But I always double check everything that I get. And in this instance, to come back that was not on the cards. What was on the cards, of course, was the airplane disasters. So that's really all I can say about Q. You know, that's my answer.
Okay. Right, there we go. Here's a question from Connie. Hello, Simon and JP. Thank you both for all you do to help humanity. Question. What happens to those who don't make it to 5D? The people in 5D still die. Are there other planets going to 5D too? And will we have children and farming and space travel in 5D? Much love to you both. Yeah, what's the deal with the 5D situation?
Wow, that's probably the big, not the hardest question, but it's the one that you could take a week to answer that. Will there be farming in 5D? Yes, but not chemical, hormone intensive farming that we have today. There will be farming. You've got to feed people. Hopefully we'll have moved away from eating meat. So it'll be a different sort of farming. There will be farming, but not as we understand it. It's just about making money. That's all it is at the moment. 5D is just a different state of evolution. Every planet has the right to evolve. So if it's on, it might be a 7D planet. I mean, when I do readings for people and I find people are Arcturian, and I say, well, you know, when you were created, you were in the fifth dimension. But relatively recently, Arcturus has moved into the bottom of the sixth dimension. And that's why a lot of Arcturian people on this planet today are going through quite a hiatus, because they are connected back to their star family. They're connected back to their birthplace. And their planet evolved from the fifth to the sixth, and there's been a huge change in the energies. All planets evolve, so that's normal. There's nothing special about that. That's what it's expected to happen. Otherwise, there would be no goal. There would be no need to do anything. You know, if we were all sitting on the 12th dimension, then there's no challenge. There's no learning. You know, how can you say that you've evolved and you've worked things out for yourself if you were never challenged, which make you look into yourself and decide what you're going to do? Some of the other questions, can you remind me of them, please, that she wrote?
Do people in 5D still die? Now you said there are other planets going to 5D. What,
yes.
You know, is it, is it like the wave that's coming out from the center of the galaxy is like just brimming everybody up to the next quantum level?
No, that wave, well, yes and no. The wave that you're talking about acts on the stars. All planets that have, life at our level have binary star system, have a binary star. The energy wave coming out from galactic center interacts and affects each star. The star then is tuned to go to the next frequency. That frequency is the frequency that bathes all of the planets within its radius, so a solar system. It's that that pushes those planets up to the next dimension. Do people die in the fifth dimension? Absolutely they do. In the sense that their physical bodies die. The fifth dimension has a biological body just as you and I do. So does the sixth dimension. It's when you go from the sixth to the seventh dimension that the biological body begins to change. And I say to people when I do a soul reading that the New Age has a saying which is light bodies. And that was coined because people talked about these glowing white beings that would visit them. And that's quite a good little term, but it's inaccurate, because the body's not made solely of light. It's made up of sound waves as well. So the term energy body is much more accurate. And as we leave the sixth and go into the seventh, so the density of the blood, bone, the biological body begins to alter and change. Therefore, what we eat and the amount we eat remarkably changes. And as we move up the ladder, 7, 8, 9, 10, so that the energy portion of our body increases until at some point we no longer need to ingest physical material food. And I do continually have to say to people who go through some sort of phase here, oh, I don't need to eat. You know, I'm developing my light body. And I say, well, you'll be dead within 3 months because you still have an organic body. There is some truth in people surviving on radiation. That's not a joke. Doses of radiation can somehow do that, but only for a short period of time. So if you are on a personal journey, please don't stop eating. You do need to drink water. You are an energy soul in an organic body, and you are feeding the physical body. And that's very important that you continue to do that. So What will happen, the last question is the hardest one, is what will happen to people who choose not to go to the fifth dimension? There's very possible that they may end up in the fourth. That's something that the New Age hasn't really wanted to discuss. But it's quite possible that a number of people will go to the fourth, which isn't very good, actually. But the vast majority will be held in abeyance, held back, to start their journey all over again. And I certainly don't want, you know, don't want to go through all this again. Thank you very much indeed. You know, we need to move on. I'm not sick of it. I'm sick of the control system. I'm sick of the evil people. I'm sick of the satanic energy. And we've got to break it. We've got to break through. And this is the time we do it. This is our time, the time of the human race. And we will do it. We will do it. But unfortunately, we get things like shootings in schools and bomb explosions, all designed, I think, to drag us down, make us focus on, oh, you look at the crying person, you know, lost her brother, lost this, and you get all involved in that. And there's a difference between empathy and being hooked by the negative energy. By all means, show your love and compassion, but don't get hooked by it. You have to rise up and say, this is manipulation of the human race. It's got to stop. So it doesn't mean you're heartless or you don't care. It means that you understand that what has played out was not just some crazy issue. It was something that was planned and organized many weeks ago. And we don't want a part of that. We want to be able to feel love and compassion for those who have suffered. But at the same time, we need to understand that this was all part of a theater. So it's a good question. Just concentrate and get onto the fifth dimension, because it's where we need to be. Thank you.
Okay, so completely other. Hi, Simon. My name is Sarah. This is the first time asking you a question, although I listen to every interviews and I respect all you're doing. My question is about Rasputin. He's considered by mainstream and by the Russian royalty to be a con artist who had the Queen in the palm of his hand. Whereas I remember reading a few years ago, can't remember exactly, that he actually was spiritually evolved and had genuine powers. I'd like to know if you have any information about him.
Absolutely. He was spiritual. No question of it. The problem was that he was able to manipulate certain members of the Romanov family simply because he was foretelling the future. In small ways, he would be able to predict what would happen, and he was invariably proved right. So therefore, they didn't feel that they could, you know, laugh at him or take him for granted. And so he was given audience. He would attend wherever, and he also was very flamboyant, and he wasn't very respectful. If you look at the Jesus figure in history, he was a guy that dressed very simply and was unassuming. If you look at Rasputin, he dressed flamboyantly and conducted himself outrageously. The answer in terms of was he a con artist is no, because look how hard it was to kill him. If you are something a bit different on this planet, you don't die in the same way or as easily as the indigenous population. And so I think he was poisoned and shot or something, and he still didn't die. There are some jokes and tricks, but the reality is that he did actually take poison and it didn't kill him. And that's only because there was something very unusual about him. If he had conducted himself differently, he could have been the most wonderful thing that could have happened to Russia. The problem was that there was this planned revolution coming. The Tsar was going to be removed. You know, the old bad names that we know so well were going to make a big fortune on this. People like Lenin and Trotsky were being got ready in the sidelines, and Stalin. And I think that Rasputin could have overturned their plans had he focused on that. Instead, he was focusing on the high life. And the mistake he made, I believe, was that he was hooked and sucked into the opulence. You know, God's sake, in Russia, they were peasants starving, and yet these people were living in the most wonderful palaces. And, you know, when did Rasputin go and rub shoulders with those people? Why was he always hobnobbing it, as we say in Britain, with the well-to-do? That, to me, is a sign that something wasn't right. Yes, he was special. Yes, he had gifts, but he misused them. And that's why he didn't bring about any positive change in Russia. So the reason that he's vilified is because he was a topic that they couldn't control. It's a bit like Trump. And that's why in the future, unless we do get this great change, Trump will be vilified by the established media. Within months of Trump leaving office, he will be attacked left, right and centre unless we have advanced and moved on. And so what happened with Rasputin is that everybody blamed him for everything. Look at Jesus. Whether we believe in Jesus or not, the system turned on him and blamed him for everything. And then what do the Christians do? The Christians blame the Jewish people for killing their Jesus. So, you know, a person turns up here with some really good messages for the world. Thou shalt not kill, etc., etc., from the old Bible, but putting them into modern context. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work because those people didn't find the frequency of the energy to communicate with the people. If you don't find the frequency to communicate, you can't bring change on the planet. And Rasputin wasn't the right man. He was at the right place, and he was at the right time, which is what had been arranged. But he may have been the right man, but by the time he arrived, he allowed himself to be corrupted by all the things around him. And you cannot afford to do that. You have to say, I have a goal, I have a job, and this is what I'm going to do, and nothing and nobody is going to prevent me from doing that. And in his case, unfortunately, the beautiful silky clothes and all the rest of it just went to his head. So he paid the price.
From Rasputin to Wachowski. Jupiter Ascending. Have you seen the film Jupiter Ascending, Simon?
Yes.
Okay, good. Dear Simon, do you think that the Wachowski brothers have inside knowledge? The Matrix was insightful, and brothers, yeah, siblings, and I'm sure triggered a knowing feeling within many of us. Their latest movie, Jupiter Ascending, centered around ancient off-planet human elites that harvest the entire population of planets for their soul essence, life force, to enable their immortality. Is there any truth to this with respect to the Earth? Does this bear any link to the references of harvesting the wheat from the chaff? Or is the biblical reference a purer harvesting with respect to souls ready to experience a higher vibrational environment? All the best, Sam.
Hello, Sam. The Jupiter Ascending film is worth watching, if for no other reason than the excellent portrayal of Greys, when the heroine is on the operating table and the Greys attack, and the way they move around the room and their physical description is excellent. So if you haven't seen it, watch that, if it's just for that. Also, if you like the idea of a flying motorbike, then that's the one to watch too, because that's really exciting. On to the serious points, although the first part of the Greys is serious. I consistently said that those two family members did a great service to the planet by bringing through Hollywood a film that was not only a box office hit and very enjoyable to watch, but had so much information to give for those who had eyes to see or ears to hear, as Jesus used to say. And if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, then you will get the message that's put in there. I suggest that you have a listen to Kerry Cassidy, who everybody knows that I have highest regard for her. And Kerry and I actually don't seem to disagree on anything, which is a bit scary, really. But listen to Kerry Cassidy, because she'll talk about what we call abattoir ships. Where do you think all the missing children go? There are And there were bases underground. Most of them have been taken out now. There are certainly ships that have body parts, human children body parts. And this planet, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing when we think about that, but we trade in money, gold, anything that's valuable like that. But we sometimes see people selling organs, poor people selling a kidney. Say in India, they've got no money, they'll sell a kidney, which can be used somewhere else, and they'll get paid a lot of money. And that's a very interesting indication on the third dimension, how we're doing that. On the fourth dimension, what's happening is that DNA is being traded. Body parts are being traded. Bodily fluids are traded. Absolutely, that's what happens. And what those films were trying to show is that a population in denial is a population you can exploit. When some of the white settlers turned up in Africa and in South America, and they had worthless glass beads, and they said to the locals, "Yeah, you don't want that land. You give me that land, I'll give you these lovely, pretty, sparkly baubles." Because, not because the people were stupid, but because they were primitive. Technologically primitive, spiritually they were hugely advanced. And so what we've got on the planet is actually the potential for humanity to be incredibly spiritually advanced, but technologically, until very, very recently, we've been quite backward. And we don't understand and don't accept that there is something physically more powerful than us that feeds off us. Why should that be so difficult? Don't we, as a human race, generally, you know, not everybody, of course, go to the butcher's shop and buy a leg from an animal and stick it in the oven, or a bird that's had its head chopped off and stick that in the oven and cook it? Why is what the reptilians doing any different from what humans are doing? You know, what is the difference here? Because humans say, I have the right to eat anything on this planet because I am the most important thing created by God. And that actually is in the Bible. The Bible actually says that God says that you've been given domain over everything on the earth. It actually says that. So people have used that from the Bible, that I can go and kill whatever I want, unless it's my own species. I can go and kill whatever I want and eat it, and that's perfectly all right. So why is it such a huge throw to understand that a reptilian could say, I'm technologically more advanced than you, I've been around a lot longer than you, I'm actually physically stronger than you, so I'm going to eat you. But you adults, you're a bit tough, and the hormones in you are a bit old, so I'm going to go for your children and your babies because they're nice and soft and tender, and the hormones are really powerful. And that's what an abattoir ship is, and that's what an abattoir plan. And I have spoken to people who have been on these abattoir ships and have been absolutely traumatized by what they've seen. I have never personally experienced any of that, thank God. I have never seen that, but I have spoken to real genuine people who have. So if you know that, and then you have the in into Hollywood, wouldn't you try and get your message out? But you'd have to do it in such a way that the elite didn't come down on you and put the stopper on you. You'd have to do it in a way that it was a bit of entertainment, a bit of fun, but the message was in there. So, you know, all strength to those two. They are remarkable. And what we want is more writings of books, more films, more plays, more everything with the truth in there to wake people up. This is how we've got to get the truth out there. Not just a little radio show like this. We've got to get it out to millions of people in the hope that a percentage of them actually get the message. So thank you. That's a good note to end on, I think.
Indeed. Thank you very much, Simon.
Thank you.
So, any closing words?
Well, let's just hope that we've got no more satanic attacks. Let's just hope that, you know, the words that we all feel, which is love and forgiveness and also truth and strength, let's hope that those come through and that we can just hurry up and get where we need to get with no more collateral damage and no more pain and hardship. To be honest, I think that the human race has learned its lesson. It's time now to celebrate, I think. It's just this small handful of people who really need to make a change before they're removed. That's it. Thank you.